live in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So we're shopping every Sunday at the mall. All we ever want is more, a lot more than we had before. So take me to the nearest shore. Can you hear it ring? It makes you wanna sing. It's such a beautiful thing. It's lots of diamond rings. The happiness it brings. You live like a king with lots of money and things. When you're broke, go and get a loan. Take out another mortgage on your home. Consolidate so you can afford to go and spend some more when you get bored.
All right, everybody, good afternoon. This is James Martinez with the Cash Flow Show. Welcome to another segment here. This is an important day, as always, during the week, because it's going to be a time where we kind of change our thinking patterns and introduce new ideas related to the financial aspects of your lives and the credit card industry, the media, how it affects you, how it affects your future, and the decisions that you make in accordance with all those things at the same time. Again, everybody, in case this is the first time you've listened to this particular broadcast, my guest today is Bob Neverett, and I won't even explain what he does or who he is or anything, because that's really not what matters. What matters is that you understand and take a listen to what he's saying in a new form of reference in terms of how you relate to money, how you relate to information that you get related to money, how you spend your money, what's going on with the election process and so forth, and how that relates to you and your daily life. Also, I will again give out the numbers in case anybody wants to call in and get in on this discussion. You may do so by calling 800-313-9443. Again, it's 800-313-9443, where you can ask a question to my guest, Bob Neverett. Okay, the people that this is new, somebody's been referred you to this particular broadcast, and you're checking it out for the very first time. You've heard, okay, wait a minute, I got a bunch of credit card debt. How am I gonna deal with that? I better listen to this guy. Okay, well, I want to let you know that as far as anybody that has in over their head with any unsecured debts on how that's affecting their life and so forth, you may call the following number, and the number is going to give you a 12-minute overview of Brad Daly's service with Court Mediation Services, and you can dial this number, and it's going to give you a whole overview, explain what it is, how it works, and what it can do to change your life. The telephone number for that is 888-213-7655. Again, it's 888-213-7655. Some of you, also, if you would care to, you can email me if you have personal issues regarding your unsecured debts and the, what you've got to do to get out of that. You can email me at getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. Again, it's getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. Also, if some of you are having trouble or you cannot seem to get a copy of Freedom of Fascism, or that's new information to you, you never heard that before, because you're a new listener, you can always call the station here and we'll get you out a copy or two or three or four, whatever. They're very cheap. I think they're almost, I'm not sure what the price is, but it's very affordable. So get yourself a copy of that. You can call 800-724-2719 to get your copy with that. We'll be back with Bob Neverett right after the break. So stay right there.
T Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All righty, this is James Martinez. We're back. This is Cashflow. Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am, James.
All righty. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Great to be back. And I want to build on some things I talked about in the previous shows. They're in the archives. They're dated January 16th and January 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do that. Let's go back and rewind on a little bit of that because I don't think anybody understood what you were talking about.
That's right. There is a sequential progression here. If you listen closely, I build at a new thing every show. And I want to talk about a word I mentioned in passing, tactile. In talking to John at one point, he was describing television as visual, mm-hmm. and I said it was more tactile. And what mm-hmm. tactile means is the interplay of the senses, not any particular sense.
What do you mean, interplay?
Well,
it's
the
tactile.
Thing, if you think of the brain and the integrating of sensory input to create a coherent consciousness, the apparatus, the membrane, whatever we would call it, the mm-hmm. organ that is interplaying mm-hmm. data from the different senses must coordinate them into a coherent whole.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The mechanism that's doing that cannot be any one particular sense, but it has to understand each sense and know how they fit in ratios with other sensory inputs. So we call that mechanism the tactile sense, or the mm-hmm. tactile or tactility.
Tactility, okay.
Now what's interesting is that electricity, which we can't see and we don't know what it is, gives us a clue that it's an extension of the tactile sense. or the tactile nonsense, or the tactile interplay. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if television in the 50s was the extension of the interplay of sight, sound, smell, movement, and whatever other intuitions people get from direct communication, if we see... Beg your pardon?
Go ahead, continue.
Okay. If we see that television is an extension of that interplay function, and then once we get into the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we have the computer and the satellite environments overlaid on the TV, then the interplay between the effects of the satellite environment, the computer environment, and the TV environment becomes a global extension of tactility, not the extension of the tactile particular sense in our body, but an extension of the interplay of all the environments. Okay?
Wow, okay. Yeah, yes, I got that so far.
Right.
Now, okay, continue.
Now, once we have this extended global tactility, the important thing is to look, what does it do to the previous media environments set up by print, industry, oil, movies, telephone, manuscripts, speech, any cultural forms of artifacts and handicrafts, all those previous inventions created environments. And they were affected by this new environment. And the effects on them are more important than the new environment in terms of understanding how we relate to that.
So okay, one so of the saying, things. So the effects of people's past and a new introduction, sorry, a new media environment such as the television, you're saying there's some discord from the past mediums to the introduction of the new one? There's conflicts there?
Yeah, we usually say mediums when we use the plural, we say media. So medium is singular, media is plural. A lot of people today say mediums, but technically you say media for referring to many media. The habits and conditionings caused by previous communication environments are in conflict with the new demands and new pressures by a new situation.
Understood. Got that. Okay.
And no culture's ever been in a tactile situation as we have today. So when we take historical media, and this network likes to emphasize the globalist agenda, and we could call them the one-worlders, you could see that the planet and the communication environment shrunk over 100 years ago. And so it became a global village, and those banking institutions, which were dealing with a visual medium, money and paper and credit, which was the dominant medium back then, that they would organize globally. And they've had that situation for over 100 years. But as the newer electronic media came in, where people since the 50s got wealth via entertainment information on TV and computers, that was relatively inexpensive. Once you have bought your computer or your television for a few dollars compared to what you pay for a car, you then get a wealth of data and sensory involvement, right?
Right, because you have you're everywhere at once.
Right, so more and more we got into a situation where we were actually more communist than the Soviet Union because people could share environments and information for relatively inexpensive costs. Mm-hmm. Later, pay TV came in, but I'm talking the 50s and 60s. And so the relative freeness...
Well, it affected the Postal Service.
Yeah, right.
Completely. It completely destroyed the Postal Service.
It affected all institutions, medicine, law, everything. Mm-hmm. The point is that when we could share things with information which was exchanged among the people who received it and the people who broadcast it, because when I get data on the computer or on television, they're not giving me an apple that I eat, and then I got to wait to get another apple. They're giving me information that they perceive and they keep and I keep. So the old situation...
Whoa, back. Back up just a second. Explain that again, please.
Well, traditional wealth was wheat, food, objects, crafts. I'd give you a basket. You might give me a cow, all right?
Okay.
Something we exchange.
Right.
You lose the cow. I lose the basket. It's like speech. When I exchange information with you and you exchange back, you don't lose what you gave me.
Right.
I get what you gave me. You keep what you gave me. And I give you something that I don't lose, but you get added to yourself.
So
So look at the TV environment as an extension of the speech function where information comes out. It doesn't disappear. I've got the information. The broadcasters who gave it to me didn't lose any. They just shared it with me. So you get a great feeling of sharing going on, which in the 50s threatened the legislative bureaucracy in Washington, and McCarthyism came in because the bureaucrats of industrial print technologies thought that this new sharing of television consciously thought it was communism. Communism
so
everywhere.
So wait a second. When you obviously you were around when the PC and Bill Gates, you know, the introduction of the computer all over the place, because, I mean, it started small with the regular computers, but when it people started, it became affordable for everybody to get a personal computer. Did you already know what that was going to do?
Well, we in the intelligence agencies understood that this would change everything, but usually we didn't know exactly what was going to happen because there's always unforeseen effects, but we did know that it would gear people toward a sense of privacy, because now you could get your own information, whereas in the 50s and 60s with radio and TV, everybody shared the same situation, right?
Right.
The same information.
Unification of experience through, okay, got it. Mm-hmm.
And nobody was losing or gaining. And
right,
so
it's
the
equal.
Computer.
Right.
So then the computer comes in where I can get information on my own private network and other people, I'm sharing some of it with whoever I'm sharing with, but people start to get separated from each other again. And so we knew that the drive to privatization, gated communities, and renewed interest in almost feudal privacy would come in as a result of the personal computer, and the ethos of the 50s and 60s would be changed.
Okay, I'm with you totally there. Now, what was your description or feeling that would happen to how we exchange money?
Well,
currency.
Okay.
Credit cards. Banking.
Yeah. Credit cards were brought in, let's say, in the 50s for most people. And paper money had been made into public property in the 30s with the New Deal, with fascist governments, socialist governments. Everybody was guaranteed a basic paper foundation so they couldn't starve in their cities. And we called it a welfare state. So that was encouraged by radio and TV, where everybody was sharing the same information environment. But you knew once people started to participate in the effect of the newer medium, the privatized effect of the computer, then you knew that the welfare bureaucracy would be threatened. And so, of course, in the late 70s, the computerized economy that the bankers had spread around the world through loans escalated due to computer speed up and disappeared. And that led to that real depression and 20% interest rates in 79, 80, and 81. All right, and gold went way up. That was a crisis. And they solved that by creating fake credit called junk bonds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that allowed the currencies to circulate for 10 years until they crashed, just under 10 years. And then that had to be revitalized by what we'll call the Enron economy, because by that point, private ownership of money, public ownership of money, all were threatened by the huge speed of computer transmission of data and money and credit, which were just 0-1 signals. Nobody could handle that. And it got to the point where Enron, for example, was giving money out and or was receiving money, was receiving loans, and they were allowed to call it profits. In other words, the old accounting methods of marking things as I give you this and I lose that because I gave it to you becomes blurred.
Blur. Right? So that's where the real problems start.
Right, and that's caused by the speed. In other words, the computer environment enhances the communist effect of sharing information, but also overlays individual, what we'll call narrowcasting, one-on-one, peer-to-peer email exchange or information exchange. Now, the point I want to make about that, that's a general description of the environment, is that when the globalists encountered in the 50s and 60s this new situation where money did not measure the exchange of information because it was nothing was given away. You could say it relatively was inexpensive. It didn't cost anything. Once you bought your TV, you could watch all that programming. And people thought it was just entertainment, but no, it was actually information, and news came on and influenced people's lives. And then the Cold War took over. So the globalists had to back off and sit on the sidelines. And then as we moved in through the 70s, 80s, 90s, the world got tinier and tinier, more smaller than the global village. It became a global membrane because we were all in the same digital node. So people thought, okay, then the world, the globalists, okay, we'll continue after the break.
Okay, all right. This is James Martinez with Bob Nebber at Cashflow. John is still out. He will be returning soon. We'll be back right after this.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
All righty, we're back. This is James Martinez with Cashflow. Bob Neverett is with us. Okay, Bob, go ahead and continue.
Okay, now I want to take what I said and explain how tactility relates to the point I'm trying to make. We had, in the 1560s, a shrunken globe, and people with jet planes could travel all over the planet with telephones, with radio and TV. They had access. The world shrunk. Now, what does that do for the industrial national economies and the national structures? They become threatened. Part of the 60s was a global outrage about...
Why are they threatened?
Because the structures of bureaucracy cannot, which are based on the eye and boundaries, cannot relate to a situation where people... Take the Soviet Union. They had to put a boycott on any information from the West coming into their culture, because they felt...
Yeah, I do remember. Now, but wait a minute. Why would... What does that have to do in the overall strategy? I don't understand why... I mean, I know they wanted to control everybody with the amount of information coming in, but interrelates to what you're saying. What do you mean by that?
You're talking about the Soviet Union?
Yes.
Yeah. They wanted to control messages and images, like they wouldn't allow Elvis in, but they couldn't stop the underground market of Elvis records coming into the Soviet Union for the youth. And that's just one example. Because when you bring in television, the culture has to support its image in relation to all the other cultures' images, because everybody's on camera. And so a great stress comes on the health of the image, your GNP, how much product you're making.
We got to look good on TV for the rest of the world.
Right. Now, if you've got all the cultures dealing with that. Now, when you have the international economy, the paper economy, moved into credit, and information and access to credit based on prestige and your past record, you're not dealing with the wealth that you carry around your wallet. You're dealing with your information profile. Now,
right.
People could travel all over the planet and experience the world with their own physical body so that they weren't limited to the small towns and cities that they lived in their countries, which was common to humanity for hundreds of years before that. So now they're getting a global perspective. Then they have to come back and think in terms of their national bureaucracy for elections and things like that. The juggling of your local experience with the new global experience you're getting with electronic TV and computerized media becomes a conflict.
So I was listening to how you were talking about that. I'm saying, so you're saying if somebody's living in California, they've got say one of these new iPhones, which they're connected on the web, they're connected satellite phone. So they, when you're saying it creates conflict, so they can go from their social conditioned environment in Nevada and then go to Italy, and then you're saying just by going in a different environment, it's going to cause conflicts?
Right, because the national bureaucracies want to continue enforcing the laws and regulations that they historically inherited. Now, what happens here is people then become super patriots or super internationalists. That was the conflict in the 30s with radio. And they go and they work towards building up their cultural boundaries versus those that want to work to a more global mixed pot kind of melting pot kind of situation. The problem is those institutions of the past, based on national bureaucracies, including the national economies, cannot totally hold off and retreat to an isolated situation, and the global effect, the global economies, cannot go totally global, because those that require local identity must be reinforced. It's natural. People are going to want to feel local as they experiment with going global. And so the point here is that the globalist agenda of having a world government can never be totally realized, because the globalists realize you prop up national identities, even though they're eroding, so that people feel secure. And those that want to have super patriotism and retreat from the world and be isolated can never accomplish that, because the world technology is getting shrinking. So
you're saying it's shrinking in their consciousness, correct?
Yes. And in their experience.
Doesn't matter if the borders are up or down or anyway. It's because they're shrinking in their relationship to other people in the environment. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. And so the point is that if we define this as a global village or as a bunch of tribal nations conflicting each other through media, no definition of the state will work. We don't go totally global. We don't go totally national. We're in the interval or in the interplay, the tactile situation. And so we will never have a collapse of the economy based on print money bankruptcy, because that happened in the 20s. And there hasn't been that kind of situation of a money-based economy since the 50s. So we're in an information kind of currency. Now, that upsets the traditional banking and credit and ownership that people experience, but it's not going to be brought to that point. But
let me rewind a second. When you're talking to information profile, you're saying that somebody's credit card, credit report, name, social, and everything you referred to that as an identity. What?
An information profile.
An information profile, and that information profile is the money being exchanged.
So that people they didn't need to have a lot of money. They just had to have credit worthiness.
Right.
That's
right,
in the
right.
70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And so they got credit worthiness, and the inflation effect of that could not be measured in old money terms, but people let it ride. So Bernanke will never bring the federal interest rate loan between banks, overnight rate, down to zero.
Okay. All right, hang on just a second. We're going to break. Hold that thought right there about Ben Bernanke. This is James Martinez, Cashflow. Our guest today is Bob Neverett. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com. This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
Okie dokie, James Martinez, Cash Flow. Our guest today is Bob Neverett. Bob, continue right where you were with Bernanke.
Yes. I'm going to use another example this way. We have those that want to get back to the Constitution. They feel outraged at what the Patriot Bill did to us. But if you look at the Constitution as a literate printed document, remember what George President Bush said, it's just a piece of paper. Now, that's a half-truth.
That's right.
It's a half-truth, but an important truth that is just a piece of paper. Certainly it was important 200 years ago when they built a world around the only medium they had, early industry and print and paper. Mm-hmm. But when we, for 100 years, move into a situation where we're shrinking inside electronic and digital environment, it's hard to run the world based on a piece of paper because you're communicating not just to your country and its citizens and their rights, but all over the world, especially if you're a powerful country like the United States. So you have to be flexible as you interact with other cultures' traditions. So I'm saying if we apply the tactile principle, we will never totally retrieve the constitutional rights that are seen to be violated by the Patriot Bill, but we will never get to the point of total erosion of our rights because the role of the White House and Washington, which represent old national bureaucracies, will always be there to reinforce the image of those literate rights. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, so the television, they're always going to keep the show going regarding the White House and the Constitution on television.
That's right.
The idea of it.
The actual fact is that we cannot go back to a piece of paper. But cultures, old media environments never go away. They're like memes. They're like cultural memories. And you still need to teach people literacy because that's a medium you got to learn how to use. Though increasingly,
but there's not much of it out there, that's for sure.
And that's how far we're gone. And so the interplay between whether we should prevent immigrants coming in, the interplay of that issue with put up a wall or create more openness so that Mexico can flow better with Canada and the United States, those two oscillating extremes can never be resolved one way or the other.
So what you're saying is either way it won't work? If there's
either
a wall
way, we
not?
Can never get to a defined situation where, okay, we got back or we got forward. You know what I mean?
So you're saying, well, it doesn't that mean you're there and I'm over here, don't come into this territory? So these fences, are you saying, are psychological fences?
No, they're necessary cultural identity frameworks that people grow up in, but they encounter a world that sends you by media all over the place, and you're always interacting with other media. But for national bureaucracies and for Congress, they have to wrestle with what are the boundaries here, and how much should we keep the immigrants out, and how much should we let them come in? The problem is that the world gets so decentralized that people can move into our United States with all kinds of new media, information-wise, or just sneaking in with power boats and all kinds of other vehicles that are very hard to monitor. So some people say put up a wall. The thing is, I'm pointing out that the tactility, the interplay, is that these will continue to irritate us about whether we should put up a wall or maybe change or go halfway, and any of those positions would never be arrived at because under tactile situation, the tactility not being a sense but an interplay, we're always going to be in this flux and interplay. So we're never going to have total bankruptcy. We're never going to have people being wealthy in economic money terms again because there's too much free information all over the place that engages people. People who are on welfare, they have a lot of experience and learning they can engage in just by listening to relatively free media. So they're engaged. They feel that they're participating, and yet they don't have to get a job. All right?
Well, wait. They're participating, but they still got to eat. And they still got to put a roof over their head, and they still got to pay for all that.
Well, they have McDonald's and junk food to get, relatively cheap food. So then that leads to obesity. So what do we do about the obese situation? Well, we'd have to look at the tactile situation, which we should never get people thin again, and we could never get people to become too obese because there'll be enough public campaigning on the information world and newspapers complaining about obesity, so they become self-conscious. So we're juggling between the two situations. So what does the individual do in this tactile situation? They rely more and more on themselves and what they're going to do if they're going to try to get out of the situation. So that leads to apathy about public issues. So the young kids today are not that involved with these old national issues of immigration, or they don't even know there's a war going on.
No, they don't even know. They have no idea.
Right, because they're engaged in this information global membrane, and they're trying to figure out the relationship to those images. But if you're smart, you'll realize that that's the condition now, and you need to relate yourself to previous media and future media. Therefore, you're going to have to rely on yourself. And the paradox...
Well, future media, I don't think most people can even handle what they have right now.
That's right, but future media is coming. So here's the thing. I just said you've got to rely on yourself more. But the self you have is not limited to your chemical body or your physical body. It has this chip body and TV body. So to say, as the self-help gurus say, work on yourself, take responsibility. You can't take total responsibility because you're in a tactile situation, and you have to engage with everybody else in the information environment, which is contrary to a sense of an individual self. And then it's complexified by the fact that digital media puts you in your own little matrix tube, and you do think you're on your own. So the interplay between what we used to think is going one direction as opposed to going in another direction in any of these issues, from the economy to personal identity, is always in this tactile, undefined state. If you know that, then you are perceptive.
So... So everybody, it's not only just a financial strain, it's a complete psychological strain for people that are dealing with financial survival in an environment we were talking about right now.
Right. You have in education over the last 20 years, as in the United States, as computerized and televised media invaded the home more and more, there was a movement by educators to get back to the basics. And they started to say, let's not coddle the potential of the student, they need to learn math and science. They were getting back to literate details because they saw that
What did you think, just a sideline, what did you think when Bill Gates set up these schools where there's no books there? You go to the school, there's no books, it's all computerized.
Well, that's a big contradiction because he is not explaining to the students when he brings in the computers that this computer will not enable them to live as an American. They're going to have to live as an international entity. And so why would they learn anything?
Mm-hmm.
And then he would say, then if he was smart, he would say, now this is going to deflate your sense of national identity, which is built on literacy, because I'm going to make you post-literate. It's going to make you flow with information environments all over the world. But that means you'll be an international person. But you'll live in a historical culture that demands you have a private identity. You're going to be in conflict, more and more conflict, as I give you these computers. That's what he doesn't say.
Right. I see. Okay, continue.
So when... So on the 23rd, after the almost crash of January 22nd on Wall Street, I remember John saying, you said, how are you doing, Bob? And I said, I'm great, because I wasn't. I knew that even though Bernanke deflated the dollar by putting in that infusion of funds, which contrary to literate, normal national economic measures, is disastrous for the dollar. But where is the dollar when we live in an economic flux around the world of 0 and 1? So the dollar disappeared a long time.
Okay, all right, good.
So I'm saying the dollar disappeared a long time ago, the euro disappeared, the yen, and any other currency, because it's the information exchange, that tactile interplay, where China has to keep propping up Wall Street so that it can exist as a separate entity. So the interplay of any of these issues, so Bernanke... When he frightens people by deflating the dollar, but he's keeping the game going by putting money into Wall Street and lowering the Fed rate, that look at that as him making an action, but it includes the other action, and neither action will be arrived at because you're in the interplay. So we'll never get bankrupt. Beg your pardon?
It's feeding the machine.
Yes, but it's a tactile machine. And so we've already had global bankruptcy. That happened in the late 70s. We never recovered from that, but we still exchange wealth through credit and loans and all that we did over the last 25 years with the dot-com infusion and then collapse, and then the housing infusion and collapse. Now, what's interesting, you can assume that in this tactile interplay, you're going to get nailed no matter who you are. So you have people on the lower income level who got hit with the subprime mortgages, but you had people at the top, the head of Merrill Lynch and Citigroup, these CEOs had to resign. When the balance comes in, because in the tactile interplay, there's never one definition, so that means the backlash will come eventually. Because
so
that's one factor, but the backlash will be...
It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor.
That's right, in this global situation. It doesn't matter if you're in debt or not. So people will continue investing in the market. People will still get in debt. If they're lucky, they won't miss. They'll miss when the backlash comes, or they might get hit. But knowing that, I mean, I know many people got hit in the 90s, and they had to pay back a lot of money. And eventually, the creditors canceled their debts because it was too big. So even recovering debts is not going to be totally successful. So that's the point. We live in this nebulous zone where nothing can be defined exactly. You can't call the invasion of Iraq a war. Any information that's analyzed it since then says, well, this is not a war. It's basically for privatized armies to run around, and the soldiers don't get paid or don't get
any
uniform.
Okay, hang on. I wanted to ask you this specifically because I completely forgot because I didn't watch it for very long, but I looked at it. When you watch the State of the Union address – what is your interpretation, not of what he said, but the point of it?
I say it's very good that we have an institution that retrieves the values of the mouth, the spoken word, and the literacy that it represents. That's all that the White House represents, a national literate boundary and the wisdom of language. And so, therefore, President Bush can only mouth cliches. But they are not cliches in relation to other global institutions and other situations. So it doesn't matter who says the words, but the words must be said to assert that historical medium of a national economy.
You've got to keep that meme going.
And he only shows up every year to do that, whereas other media and other agencies and entertainment environments like Hollywood or just your television sitcoms or the 0-1 economy goes on 24/7, 365. They get their PR every day. So the actual statement from the of the State of the Union address is a voice from the minority, the minority meme, the minority past.
Right, right.
But nothing is totally. But it's important. You see, it's not totally minority. It's also majority. So you have an election where people are running for the leadership position of the White House, but it's all based on polls and it's based on you and I and what we say to them. They're following
right.
us.
As you're watching these campaigns, and some people are leaving, some people are staying. Ron Paul is nowhere to be found. If Ron Paul is probably going to run on the independent ticket, as far as I know, this far.
Yeah.
How would you in an election the way it's been now? How do you stand apart, and what do you say?
You stand out by saying what I'm saying. Ron Paul should say there has to be a black sheep candidate. Every election there is, they've tagged me with that. But I know that that's the role they want to limit me to. I want to go on another level and say I'm the most important candidate, and the fact that I am the black sheep makes me the most important. I would say he would juggle all the factors that I'm describing. If he discussed that, which any president should really, really do, but can't, but if you're supposed to be
why can't they?
Because the role of the White House is to protect the nation. You're sworn to allegiance to the nation. You must protect that boundary.
Okay.
That's why you have national security. That's why you have intelligence agencies, to protect your boundary. But we know the intelligence agencies always are telling everything to all the other intelligence agencies around the world on the computer level.
Right.
So there is no national protection there. But there is individual threats, because with the technology allowing anybody to do anything with their mobility and their cell phones and that is what we're all worried about. We're worried about renegade Rumpelstiltskins or people that are outside of the system, which this media fragments people into. So we're not worried about countries. We're worried about an individual terrorist. But at the same time, we've got to mobilize whole armies against an area where we think that one terrorist is coming from. So we're oscillating between the boundaries. And so Ron Paul should, if he really wants to stand out, he should discuss the situation we're in and admit that he could not get us back to the Constitution as long as we have a digital environment, but that the role of how to define what the Constitution is in relation to new situations and the role of the White House.
Here's my next question. If he did talk like that and explain that, would anybody understand him enough?
No, I think a lot of educated people who live in that world, the city people rather than the rural people, the people who the jet set, the people who flow around the world, the so-called, quote, educated or sophisticated people, like that banker that I quoted last week who said these people are worried about the infusion from China and China, quote, buying Wall Street. They should get over that, he says. They should realize it doesn't matter who owns Wall Street. Now, those kind of people only think that way because they live in that medium, that level of global communication. If some president started addressing that issue, they'd listen, because then that would be their kind of image, their kind of statement of reality that they would identify with.
Knowing that, I understand how that rapport would be made, but there's millions of other people that aren't even aware of that. Is that how does he attract those people?
Well, by explaining this and staying on message. And so we have to remember that, as I said last week, we're not going to have an election. We haven't had an election since 1996. And so Ron has to realize that he's in a situation where he'll be typecast, stereotyped, if he believes there's an election going on. But obviously there isn't an election going on from all kinds of levels of interpretation, like whether there's freedom of speech, he can't even get fair airplay, he's not allowed to debate, so it's already programmed that his image is not allowed to be in there. But that's a necessary image. That allows a lot of people to feel involved in the election because they like to represent the underdog. And so Ron Paul is the underdog.
Yeah, but a lot of people will back up the underdog. They love it.
Oh, yes, and the managers of the electoral process know that, so they always have an underdog in there. Mm-hmm. They had Ralph Nader the last two times.
Right.
And so that siphons off the almost ritualistic value of the election. Remember, the election is a ritualistic value for American culture. And everybody knows once the election's over that life goes on and the president ain't going to change anything, because it was only an establishing of our identity in the ritualistic election process, and then someone acts out the role of being a museum piece.
Right. When really behind the scenes they're having to deal with this global village and the digital economy, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and China owning Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. So a president has to, they got to be able to play two roles completely.
They got to play both five roles.
Five roles.
Yes.
Explain the five roles.
All right, we'll talk about this after.
Okay, we'll get back right after this. This is Bob Neverett coming today with Cash Flow. This is James Martinez. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com. Blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
All right, we're back. This is James Martinez with Cashflow. Final segment with Bob Neverett. I was just looking at a monitor, Bob, and I saw President Bush going to be standing next to Arnold Schwarzenegger doing a big statement on the economy.
That's part of his five roles. I say the president has at least five roles, and what I mean by that is in 1947 when they brought in the National Security Act, it already was a global village. So the president had a certain role in relation to the national entity known as the United States of America, but also the president represented the 700 corporations that the Rockefellers set up, so it was a global situation also. So the president is not only an American, he's a Saudi, he's a Chinese, he's British, and he's Brazilian, because the shrunken theater means that he must interact with the wealth-making corporations in those parts of the world, which are usually invested in by American corporation, the super ones, and so he's playing a global role.
He's playing a global role, and that is because of the digital, and because of the computer did that, forced everybody to do that, because it connected everybody?
Yes, the digital implosion, which is the O and 1. When you think of the O and the 1s, which is our simple way of understanding computers, that's it goes O, and then it goes 1, then back to O, back to 1. That's actually tactile. It's going back and forth in neither position, not staying in either position. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, and so the president has to go around the world and talk to all the corporations that propped up the global theater and its communication sophisticated digital network, and at the same time represent himself in relation to the national entity. On top of that, we used to fragment our cultural situation that baseball and football were entertainment and legal matters and politics was serious. But for the last 50 or more years, politics has always had to integrate with Hollywood. So he had Richard Nixon with Frank Sinatra. You had Bush with Schwarzenegger, and Schwarzenegger in both roles at the same time.
Right.
So we don't have even the definitions of whether politics is showbiz or is showbiz politics.
Well, I mentioned a while ago on this broadcast, I was like, okay, the show American Idol, the president appeared on American Idol last season, made an appearance, because it's the most watched and most voted show ever in television history.
That's exactly the situation. That's way more important than the White House in the daily four-year interval. Once we have a new president, they're going to have to deal with the new shows, which will be way more important than the White House, wherever the president's going to be in 2009. And the interplay of the situation is that the president then becomes a cheerleader, a scientist, a professor, a buffoon, an entertainer, an athlete, and a gigolo. All these things get mixed up in the image because the White House is representing all the different images in the media. And represent a centralized fulcrum, which is the tactility. In other words, we don't have a planet anymore, yet we do have a planet. You can take any dialectic and say we are bankrupt, but we're not bankrupt. We have total martial law with the Patriot Bill, but we don't.
President Bush want to delay the economic stimulus package?
Why does he want to delay it?
Yeah.
Because the other parts of himself, the other four roles, said you have to. What are those other parts? Britain, Saudi Arabia, China, and Brazil. They have their input.
Mm-hmm.
That's kept off the record. That's the secret stuff. You heard people over the last few years saying, I don't know really why we're in Iraq, but I support the president because he knows something I don't know. And so the citizen knows that there's a certain level of the presidency involved with the television agencies that's working at a global level, and we accept the fact they may not be telling us actually what's going on, but they know what's going on. That's an acknowledgement of the president playing more than one role.
All righty. My thanks, Bob, for coming on again. This is James Martinez, Bob Never on Cash Flow. We'll be back next week. Thank you very much for your time. Always, always great to hear from you.